Philippians, the second chapter. It is a pleasure to be here, an honor to be here. And I enjoy preaching. I used to say this usually, but I enjoy preaching where you're doing it or I'm doing it. And I prefer me doing it. I really do. And God, I used to be backward, bashful, introverted, uneducated, and everything that you would think that a preacher couldn't be. And I thought I was having a nervous breakdown when God started dealing with me about the ministry. And I can still feel a man's hand, on my shoulder. Mr. Watson, sitting behind me as a deacon in the church. And I got to where I just started crying almost every service because I just couldn't handle it. But I still wouldn't move because I was looking at my inabilities. I couldn't see, and God just couldn't see me preaching. And that night, as I just squalling back there, and after service, I still didn't respond to invitation. After the prayer was prayed, I could feel his hand on my shoulder. He said, "Howard, why don't you just go ahead and give that thing to God?" He'd been sitting behind me all those years, all those months that God was dealing with me about preaching. He said, "Howard, why don't you just go ahead and give a thing to God?" I went out of the car and got in the car, and I told my wife that night, I said, "Honey, I believe if I leave his grounds now, I don't believe God will ever deal with me again." And she said, "I wouldn't leave his grounds until I got it settled." Thank God for a wife. Amen. And I'll be talking a little bit about my wife tonight. You missionaries, I believe, and everyone else, I believe there's two mission fields right now that's very much neglected. And I believe it's the church. In the home. Well, I tell you, we need some mission work to take place in the home. Yes, sir. Can I say on the front end right now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I met my wife, Doris. Amen. I've always said this, the reason I'm preaching this message tonight, and I've always said that there's two things that I wish I'd have done earlier. I wish I'd met my wife earlier, and I wish I'd met my Lord earlier. Amen. Amen. Wasted years. I got a message that I preach sometimes called wasted years. My dad died at 58 years of age, made things right 3 days before he passed away. Or at least he told Mom to tell the children everything was all right. And we held on to that little single thread. Then we'll see Daddy in heaven. But you understand, my dad wasted more than 58 years of his life because there was 5 boys and 2 girls in the family that followed his footsteps of non-church life. My wife has 5 boys and 2 girls in her family. Her dad couldn't read and write, but he knew one thing: get the kids out of the house of God. Amen. All of her family, all of her brothers except one, have been a deacon in the church. They're still in church. Amen. Her sister's in church. He couldn't read and write. Died at 58 years of age, like my dad at 58 years of age. But when a preacher come to town in revival, he always fed that preacher as well. He was a preacher man. He loved preachers. He loved preaching. Wish I would have met my wife earlier. On our date, I wasn't reared like she was, wasn't brought up like she was, and I thought she was the prettiest thing that ever was. Still do, by the way. Even though she's done got wrinkled, gray-haired, snaggletooth, wrinkled up, but thank God, I'm wrinkled. I got partial. I got a plate. I got glasses. I got bunions. I got bulges. Wouldn't it be a mess if she still looked like that when I married her and I look like I do today? Thank God she grew old with me. Huh? Philippians, second chapter. And let's look at, if you would, with me, verse 5 through 15. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. But at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe that's a serious business when it comes to salvation. You turn the radio on at 10 o'clock and they'll tell you you must be baptized to be saved. Turn it on at 11 o'clock and they'll say you've got to speak in tongues to be saved. Go to another at 12 o'clock and they say you're going to be confirmed into the church to be saved. But I tell you something, Mormonism is not right. Catholicism is not right. These cults are going on. I tell you something, folks, it's serious business when you think about this thing of salvation. Serious business. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wherefore, find out where I'm at now. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do, and I'm going to play on that word, to do, of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, where without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I was fixing to say a few minutes ago, I parked with my wife at the airport one night, the first date. My wife said, "What you doing?" And I said, "I think we'll sit here and watch the planes take off and watch the submarine races." And my wife said, "You get me out of here, and get me out of here right now, or I'll walk out of here. I'm not going to park with you." That was on our first date. Sometimes later, I was going down the highway, and she said, "Howard, would you put off the side of the road a minute?" And boy, I hit my brakes right quick to think now she's willing to park with me. I stopped that car and I parked that car and turned to her and big old tears coming down her cheek. And she said, "Howard, can I pray for you? Howard, I want to see you saved." Thank be to God I got saved. Amen. Later down the road. Right. The preacher asked me what was my intentions, because all right, she shouldn't have married me to her. And of course my intentions was, as far as he was concerned, I want to get saved. But I really wasn't wanting to get saved as much as I was wanting to get her. And thank God I got her. And by the way, on his deathbed, he was on the third, while her mama was on the first floor in the hospital later on, he was on the third floor, and he passed away sometimes later. But I went up there to see him and thanked him for marrying us, because he had all rights not to marry us, because that's the best thing that ever happened to me. Could I say that again? That's the best thing that ever happened to me. Turn to the third chapter of Philippians, if you would, in one verse, verse 13. Third chapter, verse 13. Reverend, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm so glad but I didn't turn to Mildred. Went with Mildred quite a few years before I met my wife. She was brought up the same way I was. I'm so glad I didn't marry Mildred. Looking at the past. So I'm glad I didn't marry Mildred. Look at the fourth chapter of Philippians now, and verses 8 and 9. Fourth chapter of Philippians, verse 8 and 9. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Somebody tell me what the next word is.
Do.
And the God of peace shall be with you. Even God's peace is conditional. You understand that? Everybody's looking for peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. It's a legacy. But he left us. Look at Colossians, if you would. 3rd chapter, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Lord, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Look, if you would, on verse 32 to 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. When I married my wife, I said, I do. In fact, the question was, who gives her away? And her dad said, I do. Her mother and I do. Then who takes her? And I said, I do. Never, ever did I know what I was taking. I think I told here back in February, I think I told him here in February, somewhere along there. Man, I got the nylon hose, pantyhose, hairspray, perfume, all makeup. Have I told you how I met her? I'm from Spartanburg, South Carolina originally. I'm in Arkansas now, but I was in Spartanburg, South Carolina before I was reared up. Walking down the streets of Spartanburg, and I felt somebody's hand in my pocket. I grabbed that thing, and there it was, a girl. She was trying to, it was my wife, had her hand in my pocket. Wasn't my wife at that time, you understand. But since I've been married, it's been her hand in my pocket ever since. You understand that? That's the way I met her, and she's had it in my pocket ever since. Huh? But I said, I do. I took her, not knowing what I was getting. But I tell you, I got the best thing that ever happened to Howard Calvert. Man alive, I tell you right now, I'm in church now. She's in church. Her kid's in church. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Now, I got a son I need prayer for. You need to pray for. But I tell you, I've got my daughter. She's in church. And her son's in church. And my son's leading singing. Son-in-law, and one time he's trying to preach, but I think he did it because of pressure. I told him he takes about $750,000 a year now, and I told him I've heard it. When I told him this, of course, when he first got that job, he's making, I think, $250,000, and I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, God's really got a call on your life. You got a call in your life. God will get you. I've heard of folks having to give up $250,000. I do. I said, I'll take her. But I also said, I'll commit myself to her. By the way, if there's anything missing out of home in our churches today and in the workplace and in the community, it's a lack of commitment. By the way, that commitment that's in the home is bled into our churches as well. No commitment. Man, if there's something like it in our society today, it's just no commitment. Man, I tell you, you understand. Man, I was telling somebody, I met two boys out knocking on doors the other day. I think they were 19 years of age, or maybe one of them was 20 years of age. And I asked them about, are they married? And they said, well, I have been. I'm not married now. I've been divorced. Can you imagine being 19 years of age and already divorced? I can't imagine that. When I got married and was at the altar, I could literally feel my knees are shaking. Because this thing of marriage is a serious situation, folks. When you say, yeah, I do, I'll tell you right now what a responsibility it is. If men would take a responsibility that God's put on them, when they say, I take that woman, I'll tell you he'll be committed to her. I tell you this thing, you say I do, I tell you when you say I do, I tell you it's a sacred vow before a holy God. I was drinking coffee with two men sitting at the table with me yesterday at McDonald's, or day before yesterday at McDonald's, I think it was. And there was all and his young girls who works back come up to one of them, put an arm around him, and he said, what's happening in your life? And she said, well, I just moved out, you know, I left home and I just moved out. And she told him he said, how old are you? And she said, I'm 20. She said, well, I'll tell you right now, it's dangerous for a young girl to be living by herself now. You don't need to be living by yourself. She said, I got a friend that's going to come and move in with me. But said, by the way, said, I wasn't by myself. Said, I wasn't by myself last night. My boyfriend was there last night. He slept on the couch and I was in bed. Did you know I listened to those three men talk to that lady about that situation and none of them told her to go home? I didn't know her, but I said, can I give you some advice right now, honey? I said, what you need to do is you need to go home, back to daddy. Go back to where mama is. Young girl don't need to be out there by herself. You need to go home. She said, well, it'd be too far for me to drive. I said, then quit your job. Too far you drive to work, then quit your job, go home to daddy. Don't you live with nobody, and don't you get out of the house, and don't you live by yourself. You go home. You let that daddy take care of you, watch over you, and establish your life. And don't you live with nobody until that ring's put on that finger. And I don't know whether she liked my advice or not. I don't think she did. But I'm going to tell you right now, somebody need to tell that girl, go home. I'll tell you something. I preached at a nursing home. And I was at the nursing home the other day, and I said, let me stop right here just a few minutes. I looked at that lady, looked at that lady, looked at that man, looked at that man, looked at that man, looked at that man, looked at that lady, looked at that lady. I said, you know what? I ain't found a stud in any of y'all's tongues yet. And you understand this? I ain't found a tattoo on none of y'all. But I said, let me go ahead and tell you something. I didn't find any here. But I said, you give us another 40 years, and everybody in nursing home is going to have a tattoo and a stud in their tongue. I'll tell you, I've never seen the amount of folks as tattooed up and pierced up as we are in our society. I want to know, Daddy, where are you? And where we got some men, better be men, and don't have to have long hair all over, and stud tongues and earrings, and hey, we're going back to the Tarzan days. Where's Daddy? Where's Daddy? Where's Mama? Mission field. The home. We need some daddies to be daddies again. Saw a girl pulled in the parking lot. My wife was at McDonald's, and girl pulled in her sports car, and in there was great big old letters on the back window. It said, Daddy's little girl. I said, I wonder if Daddy knows where little girl is tonight. I said, I do. But I'll tell you, when I said I do, I'll tell you right now. You understand? Look here. Who kills her? I do. Man, it's more this thing of just walking a white. You understand? He was arm in her, showing. But I have watched over her. I've been responsible for her all these years. I'm passing her on now to you. White carpet is, she said, in a white dress. I've walked a life of purity to this night. Had a white dress on, said, I've kept myself pure as well. God, help us. God, help us. What's wrong with our society today? It's in the home. Kill some daddies again. I'll tell you, they got their little toys. I'll tell you, can I tell you this? When you get married, I can tell you, are you married? I tell you, when you get married, then I tell you, you give your life away and you give it to your wife. And when kids come, you give your life away to your kids. Give your life away. You're not your own. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you, it takes more than a stud in the tongue to be a man. more than a tattoo to be a man. It takes more than a hair on your face to be a man. Are you listening to me? And by the way, I have found this out as well. For every tattoo, it's got a piece of clothing to show it. If you got a tattoo here, pants it down to here, shirt up to here, it's going to show. Tattoos on the arm up here, got sleeveless shirts on. Midwinter, ice cold outside, I'm freezing to death, and they got a sleeveless shirt on to show that dumb tattoo. I'm a man. I tell you, a man is up ahead of his household and taking care of that daughter and taking care of that son. I said, I do. I took a vow before Holy God. I do. Now I said, let me tell you what I told you. I said, I promise to love, honor, trust, and serve her in sickness and in health, in adversity and in prosperity. Somebody said, preacher, I'll tell you, I appreciate the way you take care of your wife. Well, I hear it all the time. I appreciate you taking care of your wife. A lot of them say, well, baby, most of them would be in a nursing home by now. I appreciate you taking care of your wife. Why would I not? I've committed myself to take care of her. Amen. It could be me that's down flat on my back and her taking care of me. Hey, are y'all listening to me? I've told her, by the way, I hope she dies before I do. And I'm not being selfish when I know that, when I say that. But what I'm trying to tell you is I will take care of her as long as I live. I don't want her to go in any years of any life. I'd rather see her die and go on with God and me to be living than for me to die first and her go lacking in her latter years. I took her. I said, I do. And in health and in prosperity. I'll tell you what a mission field we got in the home. God gives some daddies that's dedicated to that house. And working daddies. Yep. I'm probably kind of say it again. A working daddy. Yep. Providing for his household. Yep. Doing it without himself. It's one thing about mamas of yesteryears. I'll tell you right now, she'd leave that last biscuit there and want you to have that biscuit and wouldn't take it for herself at all. We got daddies, they don't care about that last biscuit. They'll grab that thing up right quick. Mamas too. In fact, mamas don't even know how to make biscuits and flavor pass as well. Mission field. As long as we both shall live. And to give him the ring, I pledge my life, my love, in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I pledge my life to my wife. Amen. Why would I not, Reverend Lockson, take care of my wife? Amen. I pledge before a holy God, but I take care of my wife. And I done told you she's the best thing ever happened to me. Man, I got saved 6 months after we got married. You know what she used to tell me? I said, honey, won't we stay at home today? Even after I got saved, there's times I say, let's just stay at home today. And she said, you know, account rascal, you can stay at home if you want to. Me and his kids are going to go to church.
Amen.
Thank God for a wife. Somebody said, preacher, I tell you, I appreciate your life. Then tell my wife you do because she's the one that gave her life for it.
Amen.
And my wife had done without that I might have.
Sure.
And my wife had done without that my kids may have.
Yep.
Are y'all listening to me? Thank God one day back yonder I said I do. Thank God I said I do.
Amen.
And thank God that God introduced me to my wife who is my wife today. Thank God that I met her.
Yep.
I've said this, the best thing that ever happened to me is getting saved. Are y'all listening to me?
Sure.
I've said that ever since I've gotten married. I'm glad I didn't marry Mildred. So she was out of church, daddy's out of church, and mom's out of church, and sister out of church, and dare say I'd have been out of church today as well. Are you listening to me? Thank God she saw something in me that nobody else saw, I guess. In fact, our kids said I looked like Ho Chi Minh when I got married. I was all ears. In fact, you know what her daddy said about me the first time he met me? She told me later on. She said, when you left the house overnight, Daddy said you looked like a moose while you go down the road, both doors wide open. I was all ears. As skinny as a rail. Can you imagine me wearing a size 29 breeches and have to wear a belt to hold them up? And thank God for belts, by the way. Pull your dumb breeches up! Boy, walking in front of me in Walmart store. Boy, walking his breeches down to here. Ladies over here, she's walking in, his eyes walking in. And I said, son, why don't you pull your breeches up? If you ain't got a belt, buy your rope. You're talking about somebody pulling his breeches up right quick and eating in. You know what the lady said? I've always wanted to say that. I told a lady, I says, he used to be a member of my church. I knew who he was. That's what I did. But I'll tell you, let me tell you something. If I had a job and I hired somebody, you know, if I had a workplace and hired employees, I'd want them to know what I'm saying. I hired both hands. Are y'all listening to me? I hired both hands. Are you listening to me? Dumb is what I say. You know, the banks now, they got those suckers that said dumb. I said, y'all got some, a monogram suckers. Dumb. Mission field, the home. We need some preaching on the home. And I'll tell you something, can I say this as well? God, give us two places in this world, out of this world. Now, you'll listen to me. God, give us two places in this world, that's out of this world. One of them is your Christian home. That's where mama's saved, daddy's saved, and offspring are saved. Christian home. You know, you understand this? Daddy can be saved, mama lost. You ain't got a Christian home. Mama saved, daddy lost. You ain't got a Christian home. Mama, daddy saved, and the children's lost. No Christian home. You better thank God if you've got a Christian home tonight. You better get on your hands and knees and thank God for it. If mama's saved, you need to thank God for it. If the husband's saved, thank God for it. If the children's saved, run around the block a couple times. Mission field. Yeah, I'm concerned about the world, but it wouldn't be good to start at home. Take responsibility for where you are. We've just become a joke. A home. Yeah. When I got saved, I said, I do to the Lord as well.
Amen. That's right.
Lord, if you'll save me, God, I'll live for you.
Amen.
I won't be ashamed of you.
Amen.
I'll be baptized. Amen. And I'll live for you, God. Commitment. Well, I tell you right now, it's this thing of what's in the home is bled over into our church. Man, you start preaching on these things I was just talking about. I'll tell you right now, they got no reason to go ahead and join the church or get right with God in the church. All they got to do is go down the road and join another church, except them like you are.
Right.
Come as you are. Yeah. We don't judge folks, but everybody in the world knows that one verse: judge not, lest you be judged.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and read the rest of the chapter? And by the way, the Bible says one day we're going to judge your angels. How much more should we not be able to judge our brethren? And the Bible says you see a brother in a fault, you need to go to that brother and talk to him and about his ways, comparing him not to you, not comparing him to man across the pastor, but comparing him with the Word of God. Your life just won't measure up, young man. Then the Bible says he won't listen to you. Then you go get somebody else because the witness of you carry him to go with you. And if that don't work, he don't get things right with God, then if he's a member of your church, go back and bring him forward to church. If he don't get right, then church him. And by the way, the hardest thing I've ever done is doing that. Well, I want him to get right. I'd rather him get right. But I tell you the same now. It's got to where now people come to your church and they got to get your back sleeping condition on God in order to fellowship with the people in the church. God gives them. If y'all notice what I said, if he gives us two places in this world, out of this world, you notice there's no windows here. But well, you got stained windows. We got stained windows in our church as well. You know why you got stained windows? Because God's not only giving you a home that's out of this world, Christian home, but you can leave that job, go home, be with mama, be with kids who love God and believe like you do. And thank God he's given us a church to go to this out of this world. You understand, when you walk in his doors, you can't even see out because you leave a burden outside. You leave a world outside. Fellowship one with another. Yeah. I'll tell you the best. I'll tell you, thank God for the church. Yeah. What would we do if it wasn't for the saints of God down the house of God? Well, I tell you, you understand, I'm closer to some of my church members than I are some of my brothers and sisters, my physical brothers and sisters, because we got the one to support. I said, I do. And I won't go in. You know what I did Sunday night? I preached this, I believe, Sunday morning. And then I come back last night. And I preached the lopsided of this thing. Because they are a lopsided side of this thing. All the homes ain't Christians and all the churches ain't filled with church Christians well. Dr. R.G. Lee, you said something about a Baptist today, or somebody did. Dr. R.G. Lee, I got in preface, who used to be a pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church. Back in his days, he was considered a scholar. Dr. R.G. Lee, he was considered a scholar in his day. He said, I got in a preface in one of the books I got in my study, and he said this. He said, if I was a betting man or a wagering man, which I'm not, I'd have wagered at least 95% of people seated on Baptist pews. He wasn't talking about Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, anybody else. He said, seated. He wasn't talking about the Baptists that didn't come today. He's talking about seated on the Baptist pews. He's going to slide off about eternity and die and go to hell. 95%. I used to think, boy, that's a big number, and I couldn't agree with that. But I'll tell you, the longer we live, and we got a president, we got in a White House today, and we got abortions going on like we got abortions going on today, and we got a homosexual lesbianism going on like we got going on today. I'm going to tell you something, there's something wrong with America, and there's something wrong with our churches. We've got the world in, by the way. And by the way, you know who all, can I tell you this, who's giving me a hard time more than anybody else? I voted out my first church. They tried to vote me out my second church. Just so happens the number was for me on the second church. Then we started where we are today. I lost my train of thought now. What I was going to say about that? People give you a hard time. I found that people who give you a hard time down the house of God is folks who don't have their way at home. A man that don't have his way down the house, he takes a fire to down the house of God. If the wife runs the household, he'll make sure he has his say down the church. All right. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in that heart that God raised him from the dead, but I shall be saved. I confess him to be Christ. I confess him to be Lord. I confess that he's arisen. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And I said, I'll not be ashamed of you. And I've tried my best not to be ashamed of the Lord anywhere and everywhere I go. When I quit smoking, by the way, years ago, I found out it was easier to say quit because I quit smoking. I quit smoking. You know why it helped me out to tell everybody? It's because the next time they saw me and I had a cigarette in my mouth, they'd say, I told you, I knew it wasn't real. I knew you couldn't quit. And the best thing to do when you get saved is tell the whole world you got saved. Shout it from the rooftop. I will tell you this, my truck out there has got the Parson. That's my pen name. I like to draw and paint. That's my pen name, the Parson. Anybody know what the word Parson means? In the cartoons years ago with Snuffy Smith. You ought to come to Parson. Skip it across the mountainside of that country. You ought to come to Parson. Go get the good book.
Amen.
Be Parson. The word Parson means, it's on the side of the truck out there right now. Be Parson. I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
I'm known in our town as a preacher.
Amen.
Not ashamed of one iota. I may not preach much, but I couldn't tell you as far as I may not be a good preacher, but I got the parson on Simon Chuck in there. It means to be person. The word parson means person. Be person. Be house. Be book.
Yeah.
And be man.
Amen.
Huh? Put it this way. You the man. We've made a mockery out of it.
You're right, brother. You're right. Yep.
Pastors, preachers have ceased to be the man.
You're right. Yes,
sir. We've made a mockery out of it. Get the crowd in. Somebody told me this week, preacher, if you'd let up a little bit and back up a little bit, you could fill the house up. I said, yeah, all I got to do is have them the cameras in. They'll do it too. I can fill a house up by Saturday night. If that's what you got, what you got when you got a full house, but you're not saved. Well, anyhow. Believe in my heart, but God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. I said, I'll not be ashamed of you. And by the way, I was baptized. Something inside of me. They didn't have to come and draw me and put me on that water. It was something inside of me that kind of pulled that way. I wanted to be saved. I mean, I wanted to be baptized. Be fast. I told them I'd be faithful.
Amen.
Be faithful to your house.
Yeah.
I'll be a tither.
Amen.
Not many amens on that, was it?
Amen.
Huh? But I'll tell you, you want the blessings of God on your life, you can be a giver.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to be a giver. I'd love for God to just make it where I could give more and more and more and more.
Amen.
And I said, I'll live for you. And I said, Lord, I'll honor you. And I will not be ashamed of the fact that I'll tell others about you. And I'll be faithful to your church. I'll defend your church and do my best to extend it as well.
Amen.
I'll read my Bible. Isn't it something you can read, pick up a newspaper and never get sleepy? Pick up the book and tyrants of the body. By the way, this thing when it comes to living for God, go ahead and write it down, it's a disciplined life. Paul said, I exercise myself to godliness. I exercise myself to godliness. He said, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Somebody said the easiest thing ever was to live a Christian life. You ain't never lived it then. You never lived it. Did I understand when I got my wife? No, I didn't. And in my wildest dreams, I didn't realize what I got when I got the Lord. Can I tell you something by my own experience, and not by the word, but by my own experience, the best life is the Christ life.
Amen.
Thank God for salvation.
Yes, sir.
Thank God I'm saved. I wouldn't go back. In fact, I've never heard anybody say, I'm sorry I got saved.
Amen.
Have you heard anybody say they sorry got saved? I've never heard anybody say they sorry got saved. Never. Never have. Talk about that word grace. They say, anytime you find the word grace in the Bible, just put the word help there. That's exactly what it means. God's help. God's grace. God's help is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Just put the word help there. And thank God for the help of God. I prayed a few minutes ago and said, Lord, I'm limited what I do. But I said, God, there's no limit to what you can do. Let me tell you something. I tell a lot of folks that I visit the hospital over there in Wynn. I visit the hospital on Tuesday night, Thursday night, and then on Saturday morning. And in my prayers, I usually say that, Lord, I won't be able to hear me say this. Lord, I'm limited in what I can do. A doctor's going to come in a few minutes and he's limited in what he can do. But God is no limit in what you can do. Man, I'm glad I got saved. Have you heard that enough tonight? I'm glad I got saved. I said, I do. I confess to the Lord, I live for him. Did I understand when I got my wife? No, I didn't. Did I understand when I got the Lord? I didn't realize to what extent of what I was getting. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. I forgot Mildred. I forgot the world as far as it gravitating to me and pulling me out there in it. And by the way, I do believe this. There's no such thing as I can't. If you got sin in your life and you say, I can't quit smoking, I can't quit drinking, if you're saved, it's just a matter of you won't do it. You can do it. A man in a race doesn't look back. He looks to the finish line.
Amen.
There's no place to give up, folks.
Right.
Reaching forth into those things which are before. Striving for perfection. I've said it before and I'll stop right here with this. But over to 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, it talks about the Word of God. Perfect God has given us a perfect Word. And it says in that context that the man of God may be perfect, but the preacher may be perfect. Now understand this word perfect in that context simply means in your relationship to God. Perfect. Not perfect as Christ was perfect, but perfect in your relationship and reverence to Holy God. The Bible says about your people, so what is nobody perfect except Jesus? The Bible says Job was perfect. And you better deal with that. The Bible says Enoch was perfect. The Bible says that your father was, talking about David. The Bible says about Asa, he was perfect. So quit making excuses why you can't be perfect as well in your relationship towards God. Not like Christ, but in your relationship to God. Perfect God gives us a perfect word. But if it might perfect a man of God, then over to Ephesians, the 10th chapter, it said he gave some pastor, preacher, I mean, it's 10th chapter, maybe, anyhow. Give some to be pastor, evangelist, and teachers, and this type of thing. And if you keep reading it, for be perfecting of the saints.
That's right.
Till we all come under the unity of the faith. Perfect. Perfect God produces a perfect word, produces a perfect man, produces a perfect people.
Amen.
Thank God for a church. Can I say it again? Wish I met my wife earlier. Wish I got saved earlier. Best life there is.
Amen.
Best life there is.
Amen.
Would you want to ask me? It's the best life there is.
That's right.
Unless you forget, it's the best life there is.
Amen.
Get in. Dig in.
Yes,
Amen. Be a husband of that wife. And a daddy to the children.
Amen.
And make yourself a good member down to the house of God.
Amen.
Mission field, the home. Mission field, the church.
Yep.
Good place to start.